Well, it is a delight to have the Reverend McVeigh again this evening. We're very glad to have him last night. We enjoyed as he brought the Word of God to us, and we are looking forward again to tonight. We're going to ask our brother to come and bring God's Word to our hearts afresh tonight.
Well, we do thank our brother for the warm words of welcome again this evening. We're glad to be here tonight again with you to open up God's Word. And we trust that the Lord would be with us this evening again as we come to meet in His presence. We're turning this evening to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Last night we thought about the theme of the encouragement for the sinner, those that are outside of Christ, those that without the Savior are otherwise hopeless. Tonight, we want to think about encouragement for the supplicator, for God's people, as we pray, as we seek the Lord's face, as we come before the Lord in the attitude of prayer. We want to see what Scripture says to encourage us as we come to the place of prayer. Prayer is something, of course, that we should all be involved in. Prayer is a great tool that has been given to the people of God, and what a great privilege it is, and what a very humbling thing it is that we, through Jesus Christ, can access our Heavenly Father, that we can cry unto Him. We who once were cut off from God, we who once had no standing in the presence of God Almighty, those that were outcasts and banished from God's presence, and yet tonight, because of Jesus Christ, we have the great privilege of being able to come boldly before the throne of heavenly grace. And of course, it's a tool that we ought to use as the people of God. We're to pray without ceasing. Martin Luther, the great reformer, he said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Such a vital part it should play in the life of the people of God. And yet so often it's something that perhaps we neglect, something we feel maybe to use and to utilize as we ought. It's also an aspect of our Christian walk and our life with Jesus Christ that so often is attacked by the enemy. And those obstacles are placed in the way, those hindrances are placed in front of us to discourage us from praying, or to discourage us even in our praying. And so we trust that tonight, as we come and look at this portion of Scripture before us, that the Lord would encourage our hearts in the place of prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to commence our reading tonight at the verse number 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and the verse number 9. And God's Word says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look in the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse number 20. We'll just bow in a brief word of prayer, asking for the Lord's help as we come to meet around his word. We don't want to hear the voice of a man. We want to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us this evening. And let's pray then that the Lord would come and speak to us through his precious word. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank thee for the great privilege once again this evening of being able to come into the presence of Almighty God. And Father, we thank thee even as we approach thy word this evening, as we think about the encouragement that there is for the child of God in the place of prayer. Father, we rejoice this evening that we who once were cut off from thee, that through Jesus Christ now we can come boldly to thee at the throne of heavenly grace. And Father, we thank thee for the place of prayer. We thank thee for this access that we have been granted. We thank thee for this tool that thou hast given to us. And Father, we pray that as we consider thy truth tonight, that you will encourage us in the place and in the attitude of prayer. Speak to us through thy word. We thank thee for this portion of scripture. We thank thee for the example that it is to us. We thank thee for the lessons that are contained within what is recorded for us here before us in our scripture reading. And Father, we pray tonight that as we spend these closing moments of the meeting looking at what thou hast said in thy word, that thou would be pleased to speak to each and every heart. Father, as the faces differ, so do all the needs, so do all the circumstances, so even do the spiritual condition of the heart and the soul. Well, Father, we pray tonight that whatever the condition, whatever the need, whatever the requirement, whatever stage along the Christian path we might be, we pray, O God, tonight that you will send thy Spirit, write thy word upon our hearts. Speak, O God, we pray, and give us that willingness and that readiness, that preparation of heart to not only receive thy word, but to put it into practice in our lives. Give help in the preaching of thy truth tonight. We come as one who needs thy help, Father. We pray for the visitation of the Spirit of the Lord. We pray for thy power. We pray for thy help as we come to minister thy precious truth. And we pray tonight that we would bring glory and honor to thy name, that we would exalt our Lord and Savior, for it's in his precious and worthy name we pray. Amen. The subject of prayer is one that's often spoken of in Scripture. It's such a vital, as we said already, an important part of the life of the child of God. It's vital to our spiritual well-being. It's vital to our relationship with our Lord and Savior. It's vital to our spiritual growth and indeed to our encouragement as we seek to live our life for our Master. Not only is it a subject that's spoken of often, but it's a subject that is demonstrated time and time again in the Word of God. And what we mean is that not only do we have the theory of prayer recorded for us in Scripture, not only do we have many templates as to how we are to pray, but we have many different accounts and records of individuals who are engaged in the act of prayer and were given by the Spirit of the Lord a wonderful insight into that intimate time that they have with God at the throne of heavenly grace. There are many different circumstances that these individuals come to God in prayer. There are times of rejoicing. There are times of great happiness. There are times of encouragement. Likewise, there are times of sorrow, times of grief, times where the Lord's servants are discouraged, times where they are on the mountaintop, other times when they're down in the valley. And all these examples we have of the Lord's servants crying unto the Lord in prayer. And really, we're left with no excuse as to having at least somewhat of a knowledge of the place of prayer and the truth that we're to come before God in the attitude of prayer. And yet, we must confess tonight that surely it is perhaps the aspect of our Christian walk that maybe we feel the most in. It's maybe the part that we find so often the most difficult. It's the part of our Christian walk and our walk with our Lord and Savior that maybe we find that has attacked the most, the one that has hindered the greatest, the one that it so often has the obstacles that are placed in front of it, in front of us. And sometimes it can be so difficult to pray. Sometimes we can come with that desire to pray, with that determination to seek the face of the Lord, and yet we find it so difficult. And there's so many distractions, and we can't seem to focus, we can't seem to commune with the Lord as perhaps we would ought to commune. And sadly, so often in our lives, prayer is neglected. Something maybe placed down the list of priorities. And yet, in Scripture, it is given such a great deal of importance, and much time is spent dealing with the subject of prayer. There are times maybe we find it difficult because we overthink prayer. Now, don't get me wrong, we must come to God very aware, very conscious. We must come in reverence. We must come with that holy fear and that awareness that we're coming to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to God Almighty. We're not to come flippantly. We're not to come with no thought or care. But perhaps maybe we can come concerning ourselves with our theological language, or the way we say things, rather than just pouring out our heart before the Lord. We have read this evening of an example of such prayer, prayer that is poured out from the heart. Just a normal woman, in many respects, coming before the throne of heavenly grace and crying and weeping before the Lord, pouring out the concerns and the desires and the burdens of her heart as she comes before her Lord and Master. Of course, this woman is Hannah. She says herself in verse 15 there that she was pouring out her soul before the Lord. And dear child of God, this is the type of prayer we need today. This is the type of prayer we need in our own walk with Jesus Christ. It's the type of prayer that our churches need, the type of prayer that our denomination needs, the type of prayer that our Christian homes and families need, prayer that is poured out from the depths of our soul, prayer that is poured out from the very bottom of our heart, prayer that is born often maybe out of sorrow and grief and trouble and difficulty, a weeping unto the Lord in prayer, a crying unto our Lord and Savior. Tonight we want to think about this prayer of Hannah. There are many records of prayer in Scripture, as we've said already, but personally I think this is one of the most encouraging. And I trust as we look at it tonight that, dear child of God, you would be encouraged to keep on praying, or encouraged to pray more in your walk with Jesus Christ. Now, you will know, I'm sure, the circumstances surrounding this prayer of Hannah. Hannah was unable to bear children. In fact, in verse 5 there we read that the Lord had shut up her womb. It was impossible, humanly speaking, for Hannah to have children. And on top of that, not only dealing with the fact that she wasn't able to have children, we learn there that her enemy was provoking and taunting her over the fact that she couldn't have children. Verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 1 says, "And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb." Here's a woman in great difficulty. Here's a woman in a circumstance that was weighing heavily upon her heart and upon her soul. Here was a woman that was greatly afflicted, greatly troubled in her own heart. Notice there in verse 10 that she was in bitterness of soul. It means she was heavy in her heart. This was a burden that was weighing very heavily, very strongly upon her soul and upon her heart. We learn there in verse 10 also she wept sore. Humanly speaking here, she was struggling. She had a great burden. She was afflicted. She was in great sorrow. And dear believer, maybe this evening you find yourself not necessarily in the same circumstances as Hannah here, but in a period of great heaviness of soul. Maybe you're carrying a heavy burden. Maybe you're challenged by a particular trial or affliction. Maybe there's something tonight that is weighing heavily upon your heart, upon your soul, and tonight you're struggling and you're suffering.
And it's a great burden, and it's all that you think about. You are concerned about it as you lay your head down at night. You're concerned about it when you wake in the morning, and it's consuming your very heart. Maybe you feel greatly burdened and under affliction. You're at a low point here, as Hannah was. Well, we encourage you to follow the example of Hannah tonight. Come and do as she does here and seek the face of the Lord in prayer, for there's encouragement in the place of prayer. There's encouragement in seeking the Lord's face, no matter what the burden, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the difficulty. There are six very simple things that are revealed here about Hannah and her prayer. Six simple things that are a lesson to us as God's people as we seek the Lord's face in the attitude of prayer. Notice firstly here Hannah's surroundings. Her surroundings. Look at verse number 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And in verse 10 onwards, we see that Hannah was in sight of Eli there at the temple. And therefore we see that Hannah here, she was recorded as being at the temple, at the tabernacle of the Lord. And of course, the significance of this is that this is the place, as we learn throughout the Old Testament, in a very particular sense, and in a very special way, that the presence of the Lord could be found. Yes, we can pray to God in any place and on any occasion. Yes, we know that we can pray in church, we can pray at home, we can pray in the workplace, we can pray in a quiet time, we can pray in public. We know that that is true, and Hannah knew that to be true as well. But there's a significance here in the place that Hannah was found, because it was in the temple, the tabernacle, where the presence of God was promised, where the presence of the Lord dwelt in a very special way. Yes, God can meet with his people anywhere, but the tabernacle was held a very special significance for the presence of the Lord, for that is where the Lord dwelt and met with his people. And as we think about these surroundings of Hannah here, we see, of course, the significance of the place of prayer. Because when we come to the place of prayer, when we engage in the act of seeking the Lord's face, what are we doing? We are entering into the presence of God Almighty. We are communing with the God who is on the throne. I wonder how often when we pray, do we have a desire to be in the presence of the Lord? How often when we pray, are we conscious and aware of the fact that we're entering into the presence of our Creator? I think so often as God's people, and I'm sure we're all guilty of this, I'm certainly guilty of it myself, that we come to prayer and maybe we neglect to recognize the significance of what we're doing. We're entering into the presence of God, whether at home, whether at the workplace, whether we are driving or whatever we're doing. If we're praying to God, if we're coming in the attitude of prayer, we're entering into the presence of God Almighty. We're coming to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're coming to commune with the one who's redeemed us from our sin. What a wonderful thought that is for the child of God this evening. If we do not have a desire to enter into the presence of God, if we do not have an awareness that we're standing in the presence of God Almighty when we pray, then we're not really praying to God at all. But the fact here that Hannah was at the temple, she was at the tabernacle, she was in the place where God was to be found, it holds a great significance, something that we cannot dismiss. For when we come to the place of prayer, we enter into the Lord's presence. Praying is seeking God's face, seeking his presence. And dear child of God, tonight, of course, if you're afflicted, if you're suffering, if you're burdened, if your heart is heavy, what better a place can you go than into the presence of God Almighty? Where a better place could you be? What a better thing could you seek after, could your heart long and desire after, than to be in the presence of God Almighty, the one who is your comforter, the one who has redeemed you from your sin? If your heart is burdened, if you're heavy laden, there is no greater remedy than being found in the presence of God, where there is fullness of joy. Isn't that what the psalmist reminded us of in Psalm 16 and verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. As you pray at home, as you pray in church, as you come in the attitude of prayer, is it your heart's desire to be in the presence of God? Is it your longing to stand where God stands? Is it your desire to come into the presence of God Almighty? True prayer brings us into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. And Hannah entered here into God's presence. And what an encouragement tonight, dear believer, it is for our hearts in trial, in heartache, in difficulty, and burden, in heaviness of soul and heart, no matter what the affliction might be, that because of Jesus Christ, because of his shed blood, because of his sacrifice that he has made for us on Calvary's cross, that we can enter in to the presence of God Almighty, where there is fullness of joy, where there is peace everlasting, where there is comfort for the troubled heart and the troubled soul. Hannah, here, she entered into the presence of the Lord, her surroundings. But notice, secondly, here, Hannah's sorrow. Her sorrow. One commentator has said, what an example Hannah is in her praying. It was prayer that was born out of sorrow and suffering, but in spite of her feelings, she laid bare her soul before the Lord. And we get a taste of that there in verse number 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Here's a woman that was in grief. Hannah was a woman who had a broken heart. She was in great sorrow. And that's the state that she came before the Lord. She came with great sorrow. She came with a heaviness of heart. She came with a great and heavy burden upon her soul. And we learn there in verse 10 that she prayed with a strong crying unto God. She wept bitterly unto him. Somebody else has said that it was a very fervent and affectionate prayer. She came in sorrow. Dear child of God, we can approach God in our sorrow. Yes, we're to come with rejoicing. Yes, we're to come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Yes, we're to come with that praise unto the Lord for all that he has done for us. But in those times of grief and those times of sorrow, we are welcome in the presence of God. There may be times in our life as we experience difficulties and troubles and we have burdens. Maybe we're ashamed to turn to somebody for help. Maybe it's pride that holds us back from coming and offloading our burden upon others. But that's not the case with God. Because we can come with all that is in our soul, all that is concerning us, all the weight of the burden that we carry. We can come in that state of sorrow. We can come in that state of grief and heartache. And we can pour it out before the Lord in the attitude of prayer. What an encouragement we have in the example of Hannah here. Maybe it's a particular lesson for someone here tonight. Maybe your soul is heavy. Maybe you're bitter in your soul. Maybe you're sorrowful. Maybe you're dealing with something that is causing you great anguish and stress and heartache. Something maybe nobody else knows. Something you've told to no man or to no woman. Something you feel you can't bring upon others. Maybe you're worried about burdening those you love or those around you and you've kept it to yourself. Well, here is a great encouragement to your heart because you can come as Hannah has come. You can come with your sorrow. You can come with your trouble. You can come with your broken heart and do as Hannah has done and weep unto God in prayer this evening. And God encourages you to come with that sorrow. And with that weeping of your soul, all too often, we have dry eyes when we pray. Wonder when the last time it was that we cried unto the Lord with physical tears, not superficial tears, but a weeping. Such is the burden of our soul. Such is the trouble that we have in our heart. So sincere is the desire that we bring before the Lord that we come with that weeping. We come with that heavy burden upon our soul. When was the last time we literally cried unto God in prayer? Dear child of God, this is our privilege tonight. What an encouragement to our soul that in our sorrow we can bring it to the Lord. Our scripture tells us that we're to cast or care upon him, for he careth. For us, that phrase in the original, to cast, means to throw upon. Throw our burdens upon the Lord. To take that which is troubling our heart and soul, to take that which is causing us to be weighed down under the burden of trial and affliction, and to throw it upon our Lord and Savior. That's what Christ wants us to do. That's what God encourages you to do tonight, dear child of God. Think about the example of our Savior. Think of Christ there in the Garden of Gethsemane, that agony in his soul, that great burden that he was carrying, a burden that we will know nothing about ever in our experience, because he was carrying the weight and the guilt of the sin of his people. What did he do? He cried on to his heavenly Father. He came with his sorrow, he came with his burden, and he brought it to God, the heavenly Father. What an example for us tonight. O come, O sorrowing soul, to God. Come, O struggling saint, as Hannah did here, and cry unto the Lord with weeping. Bring your sorrow. Bring your burden. There's nothing to be ashamed about tonight in weeping unto the Lord in your sorrow and your burden. Bring it to the Lord. Come in the attitude of prayer. Come in the presence of God Almighty and offload your burden unto the one who's able to carry it for you. That's what Hannah was doing here. Just a simple woman that was experiencing a great heaviness of soul, a great burden that she was carrying, and yet here she came and she wept unto the Lord. She came and brought her burden to her Lord and Savior, and we can do the same this evening. And what an encouragement that is to every child of God. Her surroundings, her sorrow. Notice thirdly here, her submission. Hannah was submitted. In her prayer, she took the place of humility. Look at what she says in verse number 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Here in this verse 11, Hannah addresses herself as God's handmaid. Speaks of herself as being a servant, a slave. That's really what she's alluding to there by using that word handmaid. And twice further in verse 11, she speaks of herself as a handmaid or a servant. What does that tell us about the attitude that Hannah came in? What does that tell us about her prayer here that she offered unto the Lord? It tells us that she came in humility. It tells us that she came approaching God, not in the attitude that she was able to demand what she wanted and she deserved what she wanted and God was going to give her whatever she asked because she had some right to receive it. No, she came with that humility of soul. She approached God here in the attitude of submission. She came as a servant approaches their master. There was a holy fear. There was a reverence. Hannah knew her place before the Lord. She knew that reverence she ought to have for the Lord. And what an example as the people of God we have in the place of prayer. We come to the Lord not just to demand what we want. We come, yes, knowing that we come on the standing of our Lord and Savior. And in that sense, we have a right to be there. And what a privilege that is. But we ought to come with humility. We ought to come submitted to our Lord and Savior and to his will. Yes, we're to come with our petitions. Yes, we're to come with our desires. Yes, we're to pour out the burden of our heart. Yes, we're to ask for those things that we desire in our hearts and in our souls. We're commanded to do that in Scripture. But we're to come submitted to the will of God, for it is only those things that we ask in God's will that will be granted. We're promised that if we ask in the will of God, if we ask what is God's desire and purpose for us to have, then we shall receive. We're not promised that we'll receive everything that we ask for, but those things that are in the will of the Lord, we're to come submitted. We're to come in humility. We're to come committed to the plan and to the purpose of God, and that's the way that Hannah came here. She came knowing that she had to submit to God's will, for he is the master and she was the servant. Dear believer, that's the attitude we must take when we come to our Lord and Savior. Yes, come with that boldness, that holy boldness, come with that confidence that we are approaching not in any merit of our own, not because of anything that we have done. We come with boldness because Christ has opened the way. Christ has rent the veil in twain. Christ has granted us access to the Holy of Holies, but we're to come with that humble submission to God. We're to come praying that God's will would be done, not our will. Again, we have that great example in our Lord and Savior. In the Garden of Gethsemane, crying unto his Father, not my will, but thine. What greater example do we have than our Lord and Savior? And although Hannah here was sorrowful, although she was greatly burdened and afflicted in her heart and her soul, although there was these things that were weighing upon her mind and her heart, although she was in pain at the circumstances that she faced, although she had a desire, she had a want, she had something that she came to ask of the Lord, yet she came in that attitude of humble submission unto the will of God. We further see that in verse 11. Because she says, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt. Yes, she had a desire. Yes, she had a burden. Yes, she had a want as she came before the Lord. But she cries unto God, if thou wilt. That's the right attitude for prayer. That's why we ought to come before the Lord. That's how we're to approach our Heavenly Father. If we want success in prayer, if we want to be encouraged in the place of prayer, this is how we need to pray. We're to plead at the throne of grace. We're to bring our desires to the Lord, but we're to come with that humble submission. Lord, thy will be done, not mine. We're to ask for things in the will and in the plan and in the purpose of God. Those are the prayers that God will bless. Those are the prayers that God will answer and grant. And Hannah here, she came in an attitude of submission. Notice in the fourth place that there was Hannah's sacrifice here. She asked in verse 11 the Lord to give her a child for a son. But then she says this in verse 11 towards halfway and on towards the end of the verse 11 says, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hannah made a sacrifice here as she came in prayer. She made a vow, she made a promise to the Lord that if God was going to give her a son, if God was going to grant the request, if God was going to give her the desire of her heart, well then she was going to sacrifice that son back unto the Lord, give him over to his service. She came with that heart, that sacrificial heart. This son that Hannah was praying for, just think of it, humanly speaking, from this aspect, it would have been her all. It was all she wanted. It was her heart's desire. It would have been a great burden that was lifted from her heart and for her soul. In many respects, it would have been her everything. And yet she was willing here to give everything back to the Lord. She came with that attitude of sacrifice. And dear believer, if our prayer is to be effective, if we're to pray as God would have us to pray, then we must lay our all upon the altar. We have to come in the attitude of sacrifice. We have to come willing to give our all unto the Lord, holding nothing back, withholding nothing from our Lord and Savior. Encouragement in the place of prayer, it will come only after we have submitted our lives unto our Lord and Savior, after we've laid our lives upon the altar, given Christ our all. We can be so willing, not only in prayer, but just as humans to receive, and yet so unwilling at times to give. We are ready to receive the blessings, we're ready to receive the answers, but so often we fail in sacrificing unto the Lord. We fail in giving to him all that is owed and all that is due. We fail in yielding our lives to him as that living sacrifice. And maybe there's a child of God here this evening, and maybe you've come to the place of prayer and you've brought the desires of your heart and you're greatly burdened. Maybe you're sorrowful in your soul tonight and you've been pleading with the Lord time and time again, and yet if you examine your heart tonight, you must confess you haven't surrendered your all to him. You haven't given your life to God. You're holding something back. Maybe you're clinging on to some sin. Maybe you are not willing to sacrifice your time or your money or your friends or your career or your hobby or whatever else it might be to the Lord. And tonight you're holding something back. And you're not coming with that heart of sacrifice unto the Lord. Oh yes, maybe you're willing to give up some things. Maybe you're willing to give up certain aspects of your life unto the Lord, but you're holding much back, and yet you're expecting God to pour out his blessing upon you. Oh, there must be sacrifice. There must be things given up unto the Lord. There must be lives that are surrendered. There must be bodies that are wholly given over to God as a living sacrifice. There must be that desire in our hearts, that willingness to surrender all that we have to God. I wonder this evening, dear child of God, are you willing to give your all for God? Oh, maybe you're willing to ask, you're willing to receive the blessing, but are you willing to give your all to the Lord? Hannah came willing to surrender everything that the Lord was going to grant to her. When we're willing to sacrifice, prayer will be more like that here of Hannah's. Our praying will be more biblical. Our praying will know a greater blessing. We will know a greater reward when we come in that spirit of sacrifice. Her surroundings, her sorrow, her submission, her sacrifice. Notice in the fifth place, her sincerity. She was sincere when she came to the place of prayer. We're learning here that Eli was watching, and he noticed how her lips were moving, and yet she wasn't speaking, and he actually thought that she was drunk. Verse number 13. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Of course, as we read down through the narrative, we learn here that Hannah was not drunk. What was really happening? We'll look at Hannah's response in verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." Hannah poured out her all before God. She was sincere in her praying. This wasn't prayer that was done for show, like the Pharisees. Prayer that was done so others would hear, or so others would see and take note. Remember here, her lips moved, but she didn't speak. There was nothing audible that was coming out. But Hannah here, she was sincere in her prayer. She was pouring out her heart before the Lord, unaware that Eli was watching. Here was a woman who, in all her trouble and all her burden, she came with a sincerity before her Almighty God. She wasn't coming to boast of herself. She wasn't coming to make a show for those around her, but genuinely and sincerely she approached God for help in her time of sorrow. That phrase there that is used in verse 15, Hannah says there at the end that she poured out her soul before the Lord. That phrase, poured out, can mean to spill forth or to gush out. This was a woman that was holding nothing back. But in pure sincerity, she was giving her all in prayer. She was pouring out everything that was burdening her and troubling her before Almighty God. Dear child of God, that's the prayer we need to be engaged in. That's the prayer we need to be conducting in our own hearts, in our own homes, in our churches. We need to be a people who pour out our soul unto the Lord, not just praying for the sake of it, not just praying because it's what we do, not just praying that others might hear us and think that we're holy and spiritual and going on with the Lord. No, we're to offer sincere prayers to God tonight, prayers where we are gushing out everything before the Lord, coming before him in a sincerity and a genuineness of heart. That's the mark of effective prayer. That's the mark of biblical prayer. Hannah here, she wasn't doing this to benefit her own standing before Eli or before anyone else that might have been there in the vicinity, but she was sincerely pouring her heart out before God. And oh, dear child of God, that in the midst not only of our times of sorrow, but also our times of joy, that we would sincerely come to God in prayer, pouring out our heart before Him, crying on to the Lord in genuine, sincere prayer. Then finally, this evening, we see here Hannah's success. And here's a great encouragement for the supplicating saint. It was successful in a couple of ways. Firstly, we read there at the end of verse number 18, and her countenance was no more sad. Remember how she came to the Lord. Remember that attitude in which she approached God. She was sorrowful. She was burdened. She was troubled. She was sad. She was heartbroken. She was in grief. She was afflicted over the circumstance that she found herself in. But here we read that while she came in that state, she left in an altogether different state because her countenance was no more sad. Her burdens had been lifted. John Gill said that her countenance was no more sad, but sorrowful and dejected, but cheerful, brisk, and lively, believing that her prayers would be answered. Of course, we're not saying this evening, and Scripture certainly doesn't lead us into that false notion that everything we ask for will be granted. Our prayers will be answered, yes, but sometimes the answer might be no. Not all the times when we come before the Lord with a desire in our hearts, with a cry unto the Lord for Him to grant something to us. And not on every occasion will that prayer be granted, but nevertheless here we see that even in the very act of prayer itself, there's great encouragement for the child of prayer of God. Regardless of what answer may come, regardless of how the Lord will answer our prayers, that is up to the Lord. But even in the very act of prayer, even in the very coming to the throne of heavenly grace, the very act of pouring out our hearts before the Lord, entering into the presence of Almighty God, it is a great encouragement for the soul. Before Hannah had even received her answer here, she left the place of prayer and her countenance had lifted. She knew she had communed with God. She left with a confidence that God had heard her prayers, and she left it in the hands of her Lord. And she came away glad here. And dear believer, regardless of how the Lord answers prayers, whether we're granted what we asked for or not, nevertheless, there is always a great joy in coming to God in the attitude of prayer. And I'm sure you've experienced it in your own life. Those times when you've got alone with the Lord, you've poured out your heart before God in all sincerity, and even before the answer comes, you get up from that place of prayer and you're encouraged in your own soul. You have a joy that you didn't have when you entered into prayer. Your countenance is no more sad, but the burden has been lifted because there's a joy that comes from pouring out our hearts before the Lord. There's an encouragement that comes from spending time with God in the attitude of prayer. And Hannah here left with a countenance that had been lifted, no more sad. But further to that, we see here that Hannah's desire was granted by God. Her prayer was answered. She did get a son. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him off the Lord. And here she makes a direct link to the fact that this was an answer to prayer. This was something that she had asked for. This was something that she had come before the Lord in the attitude of prayer, crying unto God for, and God had answered her prayer. And God granted her request here. Hannah's prayer was effective. It was successful. And dear child of God, when we ask in the will of God, when we come in sincerity, when we come with that brokenness of soul and spirit, when we come in the attitude of humility and sacrifice, God will give us according to His will and to His purpose. Prayers will be successful. And they will be effective. What hope and assurance this example of Hannah's prayer ought to bring us as we come to the Lord in prayer. God does hear prayer and God does answer prayer. The God who has answered prayer in the past, the God who has answered Hannah's prayer here in Scripture, the God who has answered the prayers of many down through the years and generations of this denomination and further down the time of history. He's the same God that we serve tonight. He's the same God that hears the prayers of his people. He's the same God that answers. He's the same God that grants the requests of his people, those things that are according to his will and his plan and his purpose. And not every time will we get what the Lord, what we ask of the Lord, but on those occasions that we do, what a wonderful blessing it is. What a joy it is to our hearts. What an encouragement it is to our souls that God will grant that which is in his will and his plan and his purpose. And aren't those the best things we can receive in life? The things that are off the plan and purpose of God. The things that God has for us in our lives. And what a privilege it is, after having approached God in prayer, after having poured out our soul before the Lord, when that answer comes from heaven and we receive those petitions that we have asked of the Lord, what an encouragement. What a blessing to our hearts and to our souls. In this prayer of Hannah, we have a wonderful example. We can come with that sorrowful heart. We can come with that burden, with that affliction. We can come with that trouble, no matter how great, no matter how small, no matter how significant or insignificant it might appear to be. We can come with that sorrow and that burden in all sincerity. We can come with that humility. We can come with that confidence and that holy boldness and reverence in the name of Jesus Christ, and we can leave it at the foot of the cross. We can cast it, throw it upon our Savior. And regardless of the answer, we can leave with that joy. We can leave with that encouragement. We can leave with that wonderful experience of having spent time in the presence of the Lord. And we can leave knowing with great confidence that God will hear. And God will answer according to his plan and according to his purpose. There's great encouragement in the place of prayer, dear child of God. Let us not neglect it. Let us not fail to avail of this great tool that God has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Whether we're on the mountaintop, or whether we're down in the valley, whether it's times of joy and blessing, or whether it's a barren time, a time of difficulty, a time of trouble, let us pour out our hearts before the Lord. Let us come in that sincere attitude of prayer, and let us leave our burdens with the Lord, and waiting and hoping and expecting that the answer will come and that the Lord would encourage us in our hearts and in our souls. We trust the Lord would bless his word to our hearts tonight, and that we would be burdened to pray, and that we would be burdened to bring our all before the Lord in the attitude of prayer. We trust the Lord would bless his word to us this evening. We'll ask your brother to come and close the meeting.
I do thank God for that encouragement to pray and to seek the face of God. And we rejoice in the blessing that God has given us in that throne of grace where we can come and we can seek God, and how many lessons we need to learn in the place of prayer. And no matter how long we've been on the pathway and walking with God, always prayer seems to be the hardest thing. It's the easiest thing. All we have to do is seek the Lord. And yet how the devil fights against us, the flesh rebels against us. But what a wonderful thing it is to be able to pray and to seek the help of God. Maybe we'd sing a couple of verses of hymn 623 in closing tonight. The hymn 623, God is here in that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. See the cloud already bending, waits to drop a grateful shower. And we have that prayer that the Lord will come and continue to bless us. We thank God for his blessing already. But let's stand and sing the hymn 623, and we'll sing verses 1 and 4 of the hymn. Gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for the privilege of being able to draw near to thee. And our God, it is our prayer that thou wouldst grant the prayer we offer and that thou wouldst come upon us in these days. Open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there may not be room enough to receive. We think of the prayer of the disciples when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And our God, we need to be taught to pray, to seek the face of God. And we pray that thou wouldst enable us to grow in our prayer life, that our communion with thee will deepen in the incoming days, and that we might be a people who cry unto God for his mercy, that we might rely upon our God and come in that humility and pour out our hearts to God, even as Hannah did in her day and generation. Lord, bless us now, part us in thy fear, and with thy blessing take us to our homes in safety and watch over us throughout these incoming days. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen.